our practice is called Krishna consciousness. So it's based on consciousness. At the same time, so many of you probably have heard this question. See, маю перевод? Перевод где? Okay. Sometimes you give a lecture somewhere, like, I don't know, go to a university and you teach some philosophy students. And then after the lecture you ask, are there some questions? And first they are shy and then they ask you, what is this on your nose? Yes. What is this yellow thing on your nose? And I had this, I mean, actually, Department of Philosophy, actually, students of philosophy, this was the, you speak about some philosophical points, and then at the end they ask you, what is this thing on your nose? So, this is all right, if they ask. It's a part of a larger question. It's part of a question, why, if our goal is consciousness, if we speak about spiritual life, why we have so many external things? Why we have so many things that one can call religion? And even worse, it's very similar to some Indian religion. Right? We are about spirituality. We want, you know, this is all about your inner consciousness. This is about your mood. This is about your attitude in life. So this is an internal thing, right? So why do you are dressed funny, and this thing on your nose, what is this? Do we need also the to practice these things? Especially you can see that in the Bhagavad Gita 8:28, like in many other places, Krishna declares the power of bhakti. Krishna says, Vedeshu yageshu tapasu chaiva daneshu yat punya palam pradishtam hatyeri tat sarvam idam viditva yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam. Krishna is saying to Arjuna that if you are fixed on this path of bhakti, you achieve all the results, whatever the results can be obtained by Veda, by study, by yagya, by sacrifice, by tapa. Tapa is austerity. By charity, dana. So whatever good results are there that you can achieve in any, by any auspicious good activity, or study, or meditation, whatever good results you can achieve, all of these you are achieving by bhakti yoga, by devotional service. And more than that, achieving all of these good results, you also, at the end, go to your eternal position, you go to the spiritual world, you achieve Krishna. So Krishna himself says that, you know, by devotional service to me, you achieve all the results of austerity and so forth. And today, we have a fast. And so we have Ekadashi. So we have been fasting for half a day, some of us, at least from sunrise till 12, which is the whole 5 hours. You know, no eating for 5 hours. And then even if you eat, then you don't eat grains. You know, you can eat only some non-grain cakes and sabjis and you know, fried cheese and these other things. That's okay. From all the other things, we are fasting. So we have austerity, right? You don't eat chapati today. At least not from wheat. Maybe you eat some other from other things. So Krishna is saying, by devotional service you get everything, and then here we are, and today no bread for, you know, for all places which you know, it used to be part of Austria, right, and Austro-Hungary. So I seem to notice that in all parts where there was German language as the official language, people are very serious about bread. Bread and butter. This is a very important thing. You know, if you don't have a good bread, I see, you know, my part West Ukraine also. It's my father eats, even if he eats pasta, he eats it with bread. You know, and my friend also from he whatever he eats, even he eats some porridge. You know, there must be a piece of bread also. So, you know, but today we have this austerity that even if you eat some porridge like, I don't know, tapioca, buckwheat, or aida, or you know, quinoa, whatever, which is okay for Ekadashi, no bread from wheat and from barley. Yes, big austerity. So, why Krishna, why do we have external things if this is about internal devotional service? And also Krishna says, whatever you do, you offer to me. So you could just do whatever you do and offer it. You know, and any work do for Krishna, and any dress, you can dress, you know, in a clean way, and then just think about Krishna. So the purpose is the same. Actually, everything has only one purpose. Is to meditate on Krishna, and more specifically, meditating on His pleasure. Right? So these are just more opportunities for meditating on Krishna and meditating on His pleasure. Otherwise, our mind drifts away more easily. Just like Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj was giving an example. If you have bees, you know, these bees, then sometimes you see that you take those who have bees, they take them out to where there are more flowers. Actually, in India, I live in India, it's a big problem that it's very hard to get real honey. Whatever honey they sell, it's like, you know, just sugar, dissolved sugar, not like here. And for the first few years, I was convinced that they are simply cheating. I even have one. There is one guy in Vrindavan who always goes around selling honey. He doesn't even offer to me. He just sees me and says, "Good afternoon." Yes. Everybody else, he says, "Look, the good honey." And what he does, he carries a bucket, and inside, he has even you know, part of the beehive. You know, those on the not from this home beehive, but growing on a tree, built on a tree. So he puts it in a bucket with honey to show that, you see, it's from actual bees. But I tried all kinds, even these and others, and they all tasting like sugar. It's sugar in water. So when he sees me, he just okay. Doesn't even offer. So I thought it's cheating, you know, for many years, until somebody told me. What happens is that in Vrindavan, you have, as well as in India, you have so many sweet shops with so much sugar in these sweet shops that the bees are lazy to go to take, because actually, to get one spoon of honey, the bee has to visit 5,000 flowers for one spoon, or even, I forgot the exact number, maybe even more. 5,000 flowers for one spoon. And here nearby you just have a shop and you have plenty of sugar. So they just go to the shop and collect sugar from there and they store it. And they, you know, they transform it a little bit. It becomes a little bit like something, you know, like honey. It's actually from bees, but it's not real. It's not from flowers, actually. It's from the sweet shops. Sugar from sweet shops. So it's kind of cheating, but not by the those merchants, but by the bees. But they are not doing this on purpose. You know, there is no malicious intent. You know, it's not premeditated cheating. It's so Bhakti Jnana Maharaj says that sometimes the beekeepers, they take beehives somewhere out in the forest or out to the garden. Actually, some devotees told me it's actually a way to earn money. They have a truck with beehives and they are paid money to just come with their truck with beehives to a garden. And like a few years ago, there was a big crisis in America. Actually, the price of almonds jumped up because like 95% of all the almonds you eat, if you go to the shop, most of the almonds are from California, everywhere, all over the world, even in Vrindavan. It's from California. So there are huge plantations. And a few years ago, there were no bees. Something was, they changed the frequency of the mobile phones. There were different theories why they died or they actually, so, and no bees means no fruits, no vegetables, maybe vegetables, I don't know, some vegetables, no berries, no grains, nothing. Because it's all pollinated by the bees. So some people earn big money by having a big truck or a small truck with beehives. And they are paid, I forgot what it's like, 10,000 a month or something that they keep, depending on the quantity. They are truck with bees next to an orchard. So that these bees go to the trees and pollinate the trees. So, there is one trick or one secret to this. Sometimes beekeepers, they take their bees to collect one special type of honey, like buckwheat honey. It's good. Or linden honey. Lipa, yeah. It's very good for colds and flu and other health concerns. So they go or mountain flowers. You know, so they go there and, you know, they have one specific type of honey. But it turns out that if you go to a place which is closer than 5 or 6 kilometers to the original place where they were before, the bees become confused. And they fly back, not to the new place, but to the old place. You may experience something similar. You may have a route that you always go through or drive through, and then something changes, but you automatically just drive or walk the same route. Or you have to visit somewhere, but you forget, and automatically you go the same route. So with the bees, it's also like that. So if probably they don't have some... They cannot put a post-it on their windshield or something, or put some reminder to, you know, drive right. You have to pick up the parcel from the post or something. And so they return to the empty place where they used to have the beehive. So therefore, if the beekeepers move to some other place, they have to move further than 6 kilometers. Then the bees fly out and they see, oh, I don't know this place. I better be attentive. I better see where things are. Okay, here's a tree, here's a hill, here is a house. And then they remember the route, and then they go back to the new place. Not to the old place, but they go back to the new place. Otherwise, they go to back to the old place. In the same way, he says, we change our address drastically. So that the mind doesn't go to the old habits. Oh, I'm in my old jeans. I'm in my, near my favorite bar or something. So that the mind thinks, attention, attention, okay, I am dressed as a devotee, okay, I'm a devotee, okay, I am bhakti yogi, okay. No bars. So it acts as an assistant to help direct our consciousness to remember Krishna. And this thing on the face is also, you know, even if I forget what is this, you know, then the person that see me on the street, they give me a second look, you know. And they will either ask. Actually, there is a true story I heard in a lecture from one Vrindavan Swami. He said that his friend decided to have a fall down and went to a brothel, to a prostitute. So he, of course, dressed in some ordinary dress, but he forgot that he has kantimala. And so he came to the prostitute and he, or maybe you don't know. What's the procedure? And she, at some point, she saw the kantimala and she said, "You are a Hare Krishna devotee." He said, "Yes." She said, "You rascal! What are you doing here? You promised your spiritual master to be clean in your life, and now you're coming to me? You fool, go back. Go to the temple." And she chased him away. Before, she actually gave him a stern lecture on the dangers of improper sex and dangerous, detrimental effects on one's consciousness and to the spiritual life of illicit sex. Very stern, very strict, and kicked him out. And that made such an impression on him that he actually, that's true. He was brought back to his more sober consciousness. It's a true story. It sounds like a story of Bilo Mangal Thakur. Something similar. So, you can see that his kantimala, even he forgot that it's supposed to remind him of Krishna. And it still reminded him of Krishna. Even in a very delicate circumstances. Where you would never think that that would actually work. So, this is why we have this strange thing on our nose. Actually, it's not strange. It's the holy clay from special sacred places, and we sanctify the body. There are many. It's also a meditation. So we put the holy names on on our body to remember Krishna, to dedicate our bodies to Krishna. There are so many benefits. Then you know it says that even just by putting tilak. And then you do some activity. Then this activity gives results hundreds and thousands of times more. And whatever you do becomes already connected with Krishna to some extent. There are many quotes about this. You can read Hari Bhakti Vilas and some other Puranas. And this time you spend putting tilak, especially somebody like me, somebody like my first temple president, he could put tilak without a mirror, perfectly straight. I can use three mirrors and it's still like this, you know. So it's, you know, it, for me it's a whole adventure to put a straight tilak, and and then it falls off, you know, except on the nose. No matter which tilak I use, it's always, you can hardly see what's, so, but nose is there still. So the leaf, tulsi leaf on Krishna's foot. the Puranas, Sarsipadma Purana is saying, if I remember the source, that this time which you spend putting tilak takes you to the spiritual world beyond time. It's never wasted time. It takes you. And we see that even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was extremely non-dogmatic, he was one of the first who was totally dismantling the caste system. He made Namacharya, he proclaimed Namacharya a former Muslim, or one who is from a Muslim background, Haridas Thakur, which was in India, especially even now, you know, but 500 years ago, it was very revolutionary. Because he became a great devotee, Haridas Thakur, and so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you are the Namacharya, you are the supreme teacher of chanting the holy name, of the holy name. So he was very revolutionary, but when material life is suffering, huh? Why are you laughing? Only in Krishna consciousness you say life is, material life is suffering, and everybody laughs. Then you say that everybody dies, and still everybody laughs. Because it works. Yeah, you understand that. Yes, but we are not the body. Ah. We are spirit souls. So even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when some of the students came to his lessons without a tilak, he would say, where is your tilak? And they would say, He said, your mantra today was useless. A body without a tilak is like a ghost. Yeah, and so go back, put your tilak again. Remember, after that you come. After, otherwise, what's... So, even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was completely focused on the essence of Krishna consciousness, which is consciousness, he paid attention to these details also. And also today is a funny day, Ekadashi, which is called Parivartini Ekadashi. It's called Parivartini because it's connected to Slovenian word prevernitise. Because it's the day when Vishnu preverni se na drugi bok, na drugi bok. Yeah? There is one incarnation, one form of the Lord, who because one day for the demigods is 1 year for us, and now is their night, and today is their midnight. 4 months, today is their midnight, and so all the demigods take rest for these 4 months. For us, 4 months. For them, it's just normal. It's something like actually 8 hours, and one form of the Lord, Kshiroda Kashaya Vishnu, since he is interacting with the demigods, with those superior beings on the higher planets who control things, he's also going to bed with them on his, in his planet, and today he's turning on the other side. So this is called Parivartini Ekadashi. This is Ekadashi when Lord Vishnu turns on the other side. And it's said that if you do some austerity on this day, like fasting from bread and porridge. Can you imagine? Then you get results equal to 1,000 very elaborate king sacrifices, Ashwamedha sacrifices, offering of a horse. It's a very, very difficult sacrifice. It's performed. Last time it was performed in 1776 by the king of Jaipur. So it's 2.5 centuries. Last time, it's so difficult to perform. And if you just fast from bread for, you know, for this day, you get the result of 1,000 of such sacrifices. It's enough to do 100 of such sacrifices and you become the king of the demigods. So this is the power. And so it's also called Jayanti. You see, you can even take this because there is no grains inside. Or Vamana Ekadashi, because tomorrow is appearance of Vamanadev. And in Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Krishna explains the glories of this Ekadashi, saying that this is such a powerful and nice Ekadashi. So it's an external thing, you know, just not eating bread, you know. What's that got to do with consciousness? However, this trains us in some sense control, you know, that you can control your senses. Also, we have a complete fast for half a day. So you can, you know, for 5 hours from sunrise. No, actually, it's 5.5. Sorry. Yes, for 5.5 hours, you didn't eat anything. And then if you eat, you don't eat bread. So you learn to control your senses. Actually, you know, first time it's a challenge. I don't know if you tried. You know, for me, first time it was a challenge. The evening I ate so much after this heavy austerity of not eating bread for the whole day. And so Krishna says that this produces a big purification and gives special blessings to the person. Actually, he says that one who observes this Ekadashi becomes purified, achieves all prosperity and fulfillment of desires in this world, and at the end reaches the spiritual world. And if you simply hear about the glories of this day, of this fast, all your sins are purified. And you reach the planets of the demigods, where you shine like a full moon. Some of you are already shining. So obviously the result of, you know, it works already here. The result of the previous fasts and austerities, Ekadashis. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he was told about these things, he got intrigued, and so he asks, can you please tell me more about this, why it's called Vamana, and why did you appear as Vamana, and why did you arrest or tie Bali Maharaj? So then Krishna gives a short summary of this pastime, of his appearance out of 10 famous avatars, 10 famous incarnations of Krishna. This is number 5. Vamanadev is a little brahmana who with two steps covers the whole universe. So he says that Bali Maharaj, by worshipping his guru, by serving his guru, and by pleasing the brahmanas, he got such power, also weapons, we read in the 8th canto, he got some super powerful weaponry, effective cosmic chariot, spaceship, which the previous one was shot by Indra. You know, now he got some really good spaceship from the scientists of his planet, priests, and so he actually attacked Indraloka, and the demigods didn't even fight. You have read in the 8th canto, they had defeated the demons 2 or 3 times just before, prior to that. But now they asked their guru, Brihaspati, and Brihaspati said that hopeless. You don't have enough power. They have performed austerity and worship, and they got such powerful blessings of the Brahmanas that you will lose if you fight. So better you now go on into the become partisans. No, not partisans. Underground. Go into the underground. Go and disguise yourself. They didn't fight in the. They were not partisans. How you call them? So, no, underground. Okay, underground. Become underground. So, they were the underground. The government in exile. Yes, some countries have government in exile. Huh? They cannot do anything, right? But still, they have some ministers. So they did this. They took different forms. They hid. But then their guru, and especially the mother of the king of the demigods, the mother of the demigods, Aditi, she performed for them. She performed a powerful method of worship of the Lord, described in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavatam, called Payurada. And also involves fasting on milk. Very difficult. And worship. Of course, main thing is worship for Krishna. It's all based on consciousness. These all processes concern consciousness. And then she got a blessing from the Lord. She asked the Lord, can you please return the kingdom of heaven, heavenly planets, higher planets, to my sons? And what did Krishna do? He performed the lila of a Brahmin boy. He appeared as a very cute, attractive son of a Brahmana, son of a priest. He's actually one of the famous incarnations in whom beauty of the Lord is manifest. And he, just by his beauty, he charmed. He came when Bali Maharaj was performing his, one of the Ashwamedha Yagyas, same thing, Ashwamedha Yagya, to keep the heavenly planets. He saw this beautiful boy, and he saw he's a Brahmana, and he liked him. And he said, ask whatever you want. So if I said, Nitya, ask, what would you ask? What would you, if the king of the demons, or the ruler of the higher planet said, I want to give you a gift, what would you like? So you could say, well, how about a laptop? Or, I don't know, Xbox, or I don't know what are these things. So, Vamanadev said, please, I am asking you for 3 steps of land. Like a real estate investment, yeah? Nepremechnina, yeah? So Bali Maharaj said, come on. I have a whole I have galaxy. I have whole planets. You know, if I give you some gift, it has to be such a gift that you never have to ask for anything again. I really like you. You know, please ask. You're young. So I understand, okay, maybe you have some not quite proper conception of prices and, you know, stock markets and these things. You don't realize that 3 steps of land, yeah, it's intelligent, you know, real estate is a good investment usually, but, you know, ask for more. I can give you a planet. So please reconsider. Vamana tells him that if I cannot be satisfied with three steps of land, even the whole universe will not satisfy me. If one doesn't know the art of being satisfied with whatever one has, like three steps of land, then all the planets in this world, all the women in this world, all the grain in this world, and all the gold in this world will not be enough. Because he doesn't know what is enough. He doesn't have a skill to be satisfied. And we have seen, Hiranyakashipu, God, the whole universe, was not satisfied. So, he said, so therefore, if you want to give me three steps. And you know this story that we discuss tomorrow evening. It's an amazing story, but I have to control myself. And yes, so many things on there. The point is that Bali Maharaj said, okay. And then this little boy, you can all look at Nitya, something similar. Gopal seems to be already, maybe all, no, more like Nitya, I think, right? And all of a sudden, he started growing. And, you know, not just normal growing, but in just a few seconds, he became gigantic. In just a few seconds, his feet occupied, everybody could see that his feet are the whole earth. And they saw that the upper space, ja shishi panchatattva ki, ja shishi gornita ki, ja nita govramanande hri hri go, are his thighs. And his belly are the, his waist are the heavenly planets. And his belly are the Maharloka, the first planet of sages. And chest is Janaloka, the second higher planet of sages. And his neck is Tapaloka, which is almost the highest planet of sages. And his head and face is Satyaloka, top planet in this universe. So with his first step, he covered the earth. And then he lifted his foot, like in a maigiri kick in karate, and pierced the top of the universe into the other dimension from where Ganga started coming. That was second step, just in two steps. I have to remember in which country, how do you, okay, two steps. And with two steps, he covered the whole universe. Two steps. And he says, Bali, you promised me three steps. Now, in two steps, I have covered the universe. Where is my promised third step? Big problem. What would you do? Yeah, Bali defied his guru to be honest, to fulfill his promise. So then Bali says, the owner of the property is more valuable than the property. Yeah, because he's the owner, he's the controller. So therefore, if it's proper, if it's possible, maybe I myself can serve as the place for your third step. So maybe you can put your third step on my forehead. Put the original tilak on my forehead. So that's the glory of Bali Maharaj. He surrendered the whole universe, and then it was not all. he was, Vamanadev said, Bali, you didn't give me 3 steps of land, and your body belongs to me now also. Bind him. And they bound him. And then his family came. And started saying, his wife came. You can imagine, huh? Just second, few seconds ago, you had the whole universe, right? And then she comes and even husband is enslaved. That shows you, huh? This. Just leave a husband without supervision for a few minutes. But what did she say? She said, you fool, you thought you can give something to the Supreme Lord, as if something does not belong to him. How did you become so foolish that you thought that you can give something to the Lord, 3 steps of land, you can give to the Supreme Personality of God, the absolute truth. Don't you have any intelligence? You don't have any intelligence. She started blasting him. Prahlad Maharaj also, actually, he said something similar. She didn't rebuke him for losing. She rebuked him for pride. Prahlad Maharaj also came and started saying very similar things. So then Brahma himself came. And he said, come on guys, you know, when somebody offers the Lord a flower, some water, then this person is glorified and goes to the spiritual world. This person has offered the whole universe. He's offered his body. Give him a break, you know. And then Vamana smiled and he said, I just wanted to show. You know, even when he was, you know, unjustly accused, he didn't start to say, oh, I gave you the whole universe and now you're blaming me. Why are you, or how, you know, I thought you are asking for 3 steps of land and now, you know, where is my, Rolls Royce and everything else is gone. How will I go to work in palace? No, he said, I'm very sorry. Main thing, I want to keep my promise. And so he was glorified. He was, that's full glory is in him. So, therefore, on this day, we worship Vamanadev also, on Ekadashi. We, by worshiping, remembering Vamanadev, we worship him. Also, Krishna says it's a good day to give Brahmanas yogurt, for some reason, and silver. Silver, yes. Also for some reason, I don't know why. So, for example, why not gold, you know, or jewels? But, you know, it's a good day for silver. And then, you know, so one observes this and one is purified and goes to the spiritual world. After being very happy here. And if you just hear this with a good attitude, like all of you, or some of you heard this with not a good attitude. Let me check. Let me look around. with devotion. Then you become free from all sins, all mistakes, and you reach the higher planets where you shine like a moon. Hare Krishna. So this is what Krishna says about this Ekadashi. It's funny, with funny name, Parivartani. Krishna se preverni, Vishnu, Kshirada Kashai Vishnu se preverni na drugi bok. So you've heard, and so this thing on our nose is to commemorate everything belongs to Krishna, even the body belongs to Krishna, and to help us focus, remember Krishna one more time, as we put, sanctify our body, and our dress and all of these things are just some things to remind us of Krishna and to focus our consciousness on Him, which is perfect meditation, which produces everything and more. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, jai. Welcome back. I didn't notice you. Are you there since long? I haven't noticed you. I didn't notice any appearance. Appearance. Oh. He just teleported into... Any questions, comments, points, realizations, thoughts? Freedom from thoughts, like in trance. Okay, then we go sing about Krishna.